Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center in Claremont, California, and my guest co-hosts tonight are Janet Mayer, author of Spirits, They Are Present, and a Forever Family Foundation certified medium, as well as Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. This episode of Signs of Life Radio is dedicated to sharing your personal experiences, such as a dream, a vision, an after-death communication, and although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show centers around your direct experiences which do not involve a medium. So, as a matter of administrative business, let me provide you the call-in number so that you may call in anytime during the show to share your stories. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Good evening, Janet.
Hi, Kimberly. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing really well tonight. I'm doing well. And what about you and Betty? How are you?
We're doing well, too. I just want to second what Kim has said. Don't feel reluctant, everyone out there who is listening, to call in, even when we're in the midst of telling an experience that we would like you to hear. We want you to think about an experience that you've had. Perhaps you haven't had a chance to tell anyone or felt uncomfortable in doing that, but we really encourage you to do it. Just call the number, and when we finished with that particular experience we're talking about, then you will be on and we'll be so happy to hear your story. So I'm wondering, Janet, do you want to start? Do you have something you want to tell while we're waiting for others to call in?
Sure. I'll go ahead and start with a story. Every month I kind of sit down and I just, try to think of, what is a good story for this month? Bring a story to me. And there's so many that, and in a way I almost hate to say that I have so many stories that I've forgotten some of them, but it's not just that. It's just that they're kind of a part of who I am now, and it's a part of that. When someone comes through, I'm really thankful and grateful. And, when the next one comes through, there's something. And the story I'm going to share, it actually happened last year. And it's kind of an odd story because I was on vacation. I was in Ireland. And I was there with some family members. There were about seven of us there. And we had kind of went to all over, everywhere around Ireland. We were, we stayed in a castle. We were in Galway. We, went to a really cool penthouse. And we were staying at all these different places in these neat places. And I kept thinking, I wonder if I have any kind of experience, and really never thought about it. But I was so relaxed. I didn't have my computer on. I just powered down. I mean, half the time, the phone service would be, sketchy. Sometimes you'd have it a couple days. A couple days later, you wouldn't have it. And we were in this place. We went to this farmhouse. And it was in Ballynockin, one of the two names. And, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. There were a lot of sheep. And we pulled in, and it took us forever to get there one day. I mean, we were looking at the beautiful countryside, enjoying our time. And we get there, and we get into this farmhouse. And my sister and I, we grab our luggage, and we went upstairs. And she went one way to the left. I went to the right. The guys were downstairs unloading the car, and I put the suitcase down, and all of a sudden, I stand up, and I feel like there's somebody right next to me, like on my left side, and I hear, hi, And I kind of jumped, and I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, hi. And there was no one there. You know, when I turned around, there was nobody there. And all of a sudden, I had this wave come across me, and I was like, oh, no. And I knew instantly that there was somebody coming to tell me that they had just passed. I knew it. I knew it was a female. It was just one of those strange waves that came over me. And I walked across the hall, and I went to my sister, and I said, oh, my gosh. I went in this room. Somebody said hi to me. I said, I know it's somebody who we know that passed. And I said, or at least it's somebody I know. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She goes, well, do you want to call home? I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. You know, we're on vacation. You know, nothing we can do right now. And I just kind of, you know, went about, you know, a couple hours. We just kind of, you know, unpacked, got, you know, sat down. We were going to get ready to go out. And it just kept bothering me. And I was just like, okay. So I sat down. I'm just like, I know you're here with me. I know you're female. I can feel your energy. You know, what else do you have to say? And it was like in my head, it was like somebody said to me, go on Facebook. And I remember thinking, okay, I probably didn't get that. You know, who's going to say go on Facebook, you know, in your head? And I just was like, well, you know, I don't really have any access. I mean, I can go on my phone, but, you know, we were out of service. And it was about a couple, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later, I thought, okay, well, nobody has called me, no family members, you know, no close friends. I'm like, something's going on here. And it just kept bothering me, and I knew that somebody had, like, dropped in to say hi and that they had passed. It was almost like, you're going to know who I am in just a minute. It was like one of those kinds of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, okay, I'm just going to get on Facebook. And it ended up that when I got on, I had just found out that a woman I had met at a Forever Family Foundation conference years before, like 4 years before, I had met her. And I had met her probably earlier before that with Forever Family, but I saw her at a conference. That's when I actually got to sit down and talk to her, and I got to meet her. And she had really cool energy, and she was pretty young. And I had found out, too, that, you know, later after that she had had cancer. And I didn't really know a whole lot more. And, you know, she was doing really well. She was thinking about, you know, buying a tiny house and, you know, doing all these different things. And her name was Robin. And when I found out that she had passed, I happened to look on Facebook, and there it was, like the first thing that popped up. And I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And I just kind of sat down that night then up in that room. And I'm like, I know this seems impossible, but I know you came to me, and I want to thank you. And it was almost like, you know, there was a bright light outside. You know, just everything lit up. And I just thought, okay, it's wonderful that she came and told me that, you know, she was stopping in. And I thought, you know, it's people that you come across along the way that you know that you have some kind of connection with, or you talk to them. And mm-hmm. And I did talk to her a lot, you know, in like private conversations and stuff. And it was really surprising, though, because I didn't know that she was, you know, that, well, of course, I don't think a lot of people knew that she was going to pass. And so it was one of those things that it just hit me really hard, but it was also a really beautiful moment of kind of like, thank you for letting me know, and thank you for coming to me, that, you know, it just really hit me. You know what I mean?
You know, it's so interesting that you didn't really know her well, and yet you had the ability, or she had the ability, to get in touch with you. And so many times, you know, when someone we love mm-hmm. passes, we try so hard to get in touch, and sometimes it's very difficult.
Right. Well, and I think, and you made a good point there, but, you know, and actually, I'm going to read something, because what you just said, it is exactly something that I wanted to read. And this was actually in Betty's book, Merchants of Light, on page 77. And this is something that I have gone through your whole book, and I have put stars and arrows and all these different, I drew all kinds of stuff of all these comments that I just feel are so wonderful, and they're great reminders. But this is something that totally relates to that process. And you wrote, when I began my journey, I didn't know how to go about discovering whether or not life actually had a story of meaning and purpose. And I had no idea if or how such a story could be verified. But what I discovered was that my intention activated the path of discovery. And that, when I read that and I thought about intention, that is exactly what this is when you make an intention, you know, to the other side, to your loved ones, to the universe, and say, you know, I want to be open to my loved ones. I want to be open, or I want to be connected to them. I think that makes, you know, makes a big difference. It's not that we want to have that connection that, you know, we're all like reaching and grasping for that because we want it so bad. You know, of course we do. But I think when we kind of set it as an intention and say, okay, I'm letting you know, I'm letting the universe know that I want to be open to this, and I'm letting my loved one know I want to be open in your time and in whatever way you want to come through. And I think that's the big thing, too, is people don't, they look for one thing that about that person, well, they would do this, and I'm like, it doesn't always work like that. They are going to come through and give you what they can in their own way, in a way you can accept it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that means we really need to have patience. You know, we set our intention, which I do agree with that quotation.
But we yours set, is great.
And that works in so many ways. My intention there was to really try to discover if the universe has meaning, because I really was forlorn at that time. I wanted hard evidence, you might say. But I agree with you and with myself that the intention is put forth. And then I think there are other things we have to do. You know, we have to be patient and be open. And that reminds me of some experiences I had in the 2 years before my son was killed in a car accident. I had no idea what was going on, but I had for 2 years dream after dream after dream of death and of his death or my friend's son's death. And I grieved in those. And then the dream switched from death dreams to some contact with the spirit world in ways that it was as though I was being aligned in some way so that I could be open to the spirit world. In one dream, there was a woman who was working on me almost like a chiropractor, but it was to align everything in me so that I could be open to the spirit world. And then
I was agreeing with you.
Okay. And that was, I thought, well, that's good. Of course, I had no idea that a death was coming in spite of the fact that I'd been dreaming it. But then the next dream I had, I was taken into a home. It was sort of like twilight, but there were many, many people sitting, and they were all men, and they were all spirit entities. And these men were dressed in suits and ties, which is so strange that would be the case. And I just didn't know what was going on. And they were speaking in a language that I could not understand. And of course, I wanted to understand them, but I couldn't. And I thought, well, maybe they're actors. Maybe this is not real. And then I thought, no, I knew intuitively, no, they are in the other dimension. I'm in this other dimension, or that other dimension is here. But suddenly I became afraid. And when they knew that I was afraid, they changed their image to something that would be comfortable for me. Mm. And so it was just so strange. I thought, well, not strange. I'm very grateful that I did have those experiences. There was another one, too, that was very different from that. And I dreamed that I'm walking down the street with someone, and I look up at the sky in absolute amazement. A beautiful rose falls from the sky and plunk, right at my feet. Then the entire sky opens up, and another world reveals itself. I see beautiful fish flying in the sky, and suddenly I remember that I had been told once that when you see fish flying in the sky, extraordinary things are going to happen. Other wonders would appear there, here, and in the sky. I celebrate the appearance of this other world. So it was almost as though I was being sort of conditioned to be accepting or open to the extraordinary. I mean, fish in the sky and spirits in the house speaking a foreign language. I think it was a preparation so that when he did pass, there was something in me that even was unconscious that had been worked with for quite a while. But I also knew that in me, I had needed alignment. And I think we all do, because we fall out of alignment and we have to kind of get put back in it. And sometimes it takes a long time after someone passes for both sides to connect their energy.
Right, right. And I do like the word with being aligning you to that and conditioning you. And I think that's important for people to understand and to be open to. I think that sometimes, this, for me, it didn't really happen overnight. I've, had this going on for many, many years, but it also, over the years, it has shifted. And, I've had to be realigned, I guess you could say, in many ways.
Yeah,
because
just like
you get going in a certain direction and you realize, there's a lot more. And all of a sudden you're shifted into a whole new area and you're all of a sudden it's all kind of a whole new world. It's fishes in the sky,
Yeah, right. So
right.
True.
But well, yeah, go on.
No, please.
Oh, I was just gonna say, and I wanted to add to the Robin story real quick was, when I do this every month, as I said earlier, and I sit and I kind of, think about it and kind of ask the universe, what stories am I going to tell this time, or this month? And when I was doing that for the show, I kind of said, okay, well, do I want to tell that story? And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Then give me a validation. Give me a sign. Because I'm always one of these double validation people anyway, that I'm not a skeptic, but I'm skeptical at times. And so I always ask for a second thing because that's just who I am.
I like that, yeah.
And so when I did that, I said, okay, what am I going to do to find out that I'm doing that? I should tell this story about you, Robin. I want to share this, and I want people to know that, she was a really wonderful person. She was in her, early 50s and super, had this great energy. And so I thought, okay, well, what do I do? And in my head, I'm thinking, go back to the beginning. And I'm like, Ireland? And I thought, no, Facebook. And I'm like, okay, so I went to her Facebook remembrance page. And her birthday is next week. So her birthday's it would have been October 31st, which is Halloween. And the interesting thing about that is, I didn't think of the story last month. I didn't think of it the month before. It came to me this month, and it kind of was almost like she was telling me, yeah, this is the month that you're supposed to talk about it. And I thought that was really cool because it's kind of like, we think about our loved ones in the past, but they're not in the past. They're actually right here with us. They're in the present with us. It's just we have a tendency to take ourselves back to the past. And so it's almost as if she was reminding me, we're still here in the present. And and it made me think, yeah, we are. And this is something that I needed to talk about tonight with, everyone, is to say, remember that we are all in the present. Whether you have transitioned or whether, you're still here, it's kind of like we still have that connection and we can still make that connection. And that's what's really, so great about having that ability, that when we open up and we make the intention and we allow ourselves, that can happen,
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that sometimes in our attempt to be in alignment with the spirit dimension, I think in my own self and in my husband's experience too, is that we wanted to so much that that very energy of wanting to, or even the energy of grieving, if we could just relax and really know or believe, be open and know that this can happen. That was certainly the case with me. I was scared to death that nothing would happen. But Ishvan, my husband, had a really powerful experience that whenever he became afraid or over-concerned with something, when he was experiencing something he really wanted to experience, that it threw him out of what he would call the flow. As long as he trusted and felt, yes, this is a natural thing, this is the way it is, and I will be with Pishti, our son. And then he was, as he said, I was in the flow. But he said, the moment I got scared, I was popped out of the flow, and there was no way I could experience it. And so I had to try to learn to relax and allow myself to just go with the flow, just experience it. That's sometimes so hard, though.
Well, and I was just going to say that it's not easy. It's not like you can just sit down and snap your fingers and, okay, I'm there, I'm in the flow. It's like you really have to you have to find your own way. That's the thing, too, is, you know, you can read everything you can, you know, possibly read. You can listen to what everybody says. But it really all comes down to where you personally are in that energy, you know, when you're in that presence. And you know, this is like a little story which that reminded me of is many years ago, you know, I was, well, I've been meditating since probably my 20s. And, you know, I would just sit down and I would start meditating. And I would always try to do it for about 20 minutes. I, you know, started off slow. And I got to the point where I'm just like, okay, you know, I want spirit. Go ahead, touch me. Just go ahead. You know, I can take it. I'm you know, no longer a chicken. I can handle this. And, you know, I was just kind of sitting there and I was relaxed. And I thought, okay, they're going to probably touch my nose or something. And I would say within 30 seconds, somebody grabbed my hand, my right hand. I literally flew up out of the chair. And I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And I just thought, oh, wow, ooh, oh, wow, that really happened. And I just, I had to sit down and laugh. I just laughed and laughed because I thought, okay, well, I asked. Hey. And I told them I was ready. And I mean, it was one of those things, though, that I knew that it was almost as if after it happened and after I jumped off the couch and I started laughing at myself, I kind of sat back down and thought, okay, now, what did I feel? What did it feel like? And that was a really big turning point for me because when I did that, I kind of went into it and said, did it feel male or female? Did it feel younger or older? And that's what I did. And then that kind of started teaching me as well where I was going, in what direction was something. When somebody came to me, I would be like, well, did they feel male or female? Oh, okay, it was definitely female. Instantly I knew that, you know, or something like that.
That's
or,
good,
you know,
yeah.
How did, and I think that was a really big thing too, and it was kind of like, well, does it feel like it's, you know, a grandmother? Does it feel like it's, you know, who does it, a friend? And it kind of opened me up in a way that it was, as you had said earlier, it was realigning me. It was aligning me, and it was showing me that, okay, this is something else that you're going to experience, but now go into it deeper. Don't just settle with the surface of the feel. Go into it deeper. What are you sensing? And as soon as that happens, you do start to feel more. And it might take a little time, but all of a sudden, boom, it'll come to you, and you're just like, well, I knew that. How did I know that? I knew that. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's such a great feeling.
That's really good, too. You know, we are so excited if we have an experience, then sometimes we're just okay with it. But that's very good. Ask the questions. Go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I think I told once that, just in response to your having your hand taken, that would be pretty dramatic, that I was actually I was listening to music and I was having a vision with the Egyptian god Anubis in the jackal form. And I had the necklace on, I put it on backwards so it was facing my heart. It was right to my, and while I was lying there, a hand pushed it into my heart. And I was so shocked at first that all I could be was shocked and amazed. And then I did have a little bit of sense to try to go deeper into it and want to know more. But that comes second. Usually, you know, you're so amazed.
Did you feel it after that?
You mean feel the sensation?
Like days later. Or? Did you feel it like days later? Did you get a sense at all? I mean, because that's sometimes that will happen too, where you'll have something like that happen, and then days later you feel it again, you know?
Oh, I didn't feel it again. I just was so focused on it and so happy and excited, and that had actually happened because I'd had other experiences with that image or entity, being, and I just was sort of spent the days being happy that it had happened.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, and that's just it. I mean, it's when you have an experience, and that's the other thing is when you have an experience, you know, anybody out there who's listening, you know, if you have an experience, sometimes people will be, they won't understand it because it's not their experience. But when you have it, and like you said, you were so happy all day, you just had this like joy inside of you that was bursting out, you had that. And even when you would try to, you know, share it with somebody, they would catch it and they would, you know, feel it with you, but you had a fuller experience. And I think too, like when people have an experience or a personal experience, and they go to tell somebody, and somebody doesn't understand it, they don't want to share it. or they, and then they forget to like honor that story or honor that thing that happened. And I, you know, I think that's one thing with the show is it's to remind people that, you know, when you had an experience, you know, you can still share that experience with whoever you want. It was your experience. You felt it, or you lived it, or you dreamt it, or you saw it. And that's what makes it so beautiful, is to keep reminding yourself you saw it, because it also opens you up for more experiences, and it opens you up for something new. It kind of takes you down a new path. It's, you know, showing you something different that you haven't experienced before, and then it leads you, it's also opening you up for the next experience. And I want people to remember that, too, is when you have one, you're opening yourself up for the next one. And it doesn't have to be like tomorrow or the next week. It can be months down the line. But it's kind of like letting the other side know. It's like, oh, I opened the door. The door's open now. So when you think I need it, come on through, you know?
Yeah, I really think that's good. And I think so many people are reluctant to share that kind of experience because they're afraid that they'll be laughed at or rejected. So we each kind of know whom we can actually tell something like that to. But the poet, the German poet Goethe, said something that I think is so incredibly true, is that the more that we tell the story, like you are telling us these stories and I'm telling you stories, and these stories then are, by telling it, it's as though we're putting it through a magnifying glass. Just as we could take that glass or mirror to something and let the sun go through it, and it would actually so intensify the experience that it could catch on fire. You know, it's so, it could be ignited into some much more powerful energy. So that, in other words, if we tell our stories to each other and reflect on that story back and forth, it intensifies the actual energy in that experience.
I love that. I love that, and it's so true. I love that. I don't know how else to say that, but it really is true, because you are adding energy into it, and you are expressing it, and it does take you, and maybe that's why, too, is, you know, all the different stories I have, and, you know, you tell them along, you know, somebody will say, oh, we'll tell this one, oh, tell that, and it just, it kind of builds, like you said, it's intensifying, and I do, I think that's really true.
It's intensifying and affecting every person who hears it. And I wanted to add, too, that, you know, we're talking about experiences of people who have passed to the other dimension, and that's so important in our lives. But these visions also, I think, prepare us for other things that we might be about to experience on the earth. And I had that along with the experiences of our son's death. It was as though that now that the door was open, they wanted to let me know that there were things happening on the earth that we needed to be open to, and that we needed to have an alignment with the other side and an understanding so that we could go through these experiences creatively. And so one experience I had that was so powerful was that there was a catastrophe in the world. There was a worldwide catastrophe. And at first, people were kind of numb. They didn't know what to do. But then in the dream, gradually, there was a connection of one hand to another hand and to another. And they started connecting around the world. And then we began to dance the round dance. And as we danced that dance in this holding hands around the planet connected, there was the voice, the earth, the spirit of the earth could flow through us by, it was sort of as though we have a linear way of looking at the world, a beginning and an end, or this political side and that political side, male, female, that what we were doing is taking that line and connecting the opposite ends. And by doing that, we were creating a completely different energy. And as we did that, then the spirit voice could flow through all of us. And I've often, we intuitively knew that we were dancing that dance to heal the raped heart, that we in our culture had not nurtured heart consciousness. We had mainly nurtured linear, straight line, opposites and conceptual consciousness. And so in this dream, we realized we had to bring those two together and that that would help to heal the raped heart. And I've often thought of that when, you know, with COVID and with all of the fears that we have, not only in this country, but around the world, that, you know, that some of these dreams, were they preparation for that? It was, in a sense, letting me know that whatever catastrophe there is, we have the power to connect with each other and to heal inwardly, starting with the heart, with love. And another of the visions that my husband had, Ishvan, after our son's death, and he was with our son, Pishti, and suddenly they were out in space, and he said, "Dad, I want you to see this." And then they came closer to the earth, and they could see light, this beautiful light all around the planet. And then as they got closer, Ishvan could see this hard, dark cement of just dark and hardness was the way he explained it. And then our son said to him, "Dad, only love can pierce that hardness." And that, you know, it just seems like, well, can there be enough love? But that wasn't that, it was just love. And he said, "Look closely and you'll see points around the world in that light." And Ishvan said, "Yes, I do see the points." And he said, "Those are individual souls who are loving. They may think that they're not doing anything to create a better world, but they are because they love. And they love unconditionally. And that gives them the power and the strength like a lighthouse. And they send that light to the next one. And then they send it to the next one. So all around the world, they are connecting with this light of love. And that can heal the world." So it was another way of talking about holding hands and making the connection. It's that by loving, we do connect, and we can connect all around the world. And I do feel that so many of those dreams were in preparation for what we on the earth do have to go through. We have a terrible shadow in our culture and on the planet that we need to see and look at carefully, and then find healing ways to connect the best parts of the opposites into a third, a new and a much higher kind of energy. In German, I think Goethe said that too, that's a completely unanticipated other. When we bring the opposites together, we can't anticipate that higher third principle that can emerge.
Right. I mean, that's beautiful, and that's so true, is that, you know, love is the way. It is, that's what will transform us. That's what will bring healing to our world. So that is needed. And when you said that, I had to smile because I have two bookmarks in your book. And the second one relates, I think, similar to what you just said. And this is a different, you know, the first one I said was page 77, and this is page 91 in your book, Merchants of Light. And I just want to read this one little section here. It says, "All of these images and symbolic realities can appear on our path as we journey to the center of our wholeness. If we can refrain from denying the reality and allow ourselves to be open to these powerful forms of love, energy, and consciousness, we will be transformed." And that's basically what you just said, and I had put that in as a bookmark of what I wanted to talk about.
That's funny. Yeah.
So we're both on the same plane, same lane.
We're on the same page today. Well, and sometimes, you know, the image that comes to us is a horrifying, disgusting image that we want to do foul things to, you know, or say about that person or that image. But if it's on the path, if it's in our path, it's something that we have to do business with.
Right. Right. And I mean, you know, and it's interesting in the sense that you were saying too about how when we connect to the world and how we connect to each other to bring, you know, through love, and, you know, you're talking about doing this through dreams. And it, right when you said that, it made me immediately think of how many people have a dream and in the morning they remember it and then they just go on with their day. And they don't go into their dream and think about that dream. What did that dream mean? What is it trying to tell you? And I'm not saying you have to sit there and dissect it, you know, 20 different ways. Just to be, you know, acknowledge it, to acknowledge that you had this, to acknowledge that there has meaning in it, or, you know, maybe it was more than a dream. You know, maybe it was a dream visit, you know, who knows? And the thing is there's a connection there. And if we would all pay more attention to, you know, where we're walking on this planet with going through all this, I think that, you know, we could connect, and it can connect through love. And I think the other side, you know, or those living on the other side, they're trying to help us, and they're always giving us signs. And people say, oh, well, I don't, you know, somebody one time told me, well, I don't want to bother them. I'm like, they want to be bothered. If they can come through, they're going to come through. Yes. And if they don't want to be bothered, they're not going to come in. So it doesn't matter, you know. And I would, yeah. I would just kind of kid like that and say, you know, I always say, and, you know, there, other people have their own beliefs, but as a medium, I always feel like, you know, I don't feel like they have to be around us 24/7. We have a vibration that we put out when we're thinking mm-hmm. about them, when we're sending love, when we're worried, when there's anything like that. They connect. They connect to us. They don't have to be there 24/7 for us. What I do think what's really fascinating is a perfect example would be, you know, if let's say one week I was just really, really thinking about my mom really strongly. You know, my mom passed 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago. And for some reason, it would just be really, really strong. And I don't, you know, and I don't say anything. You know, I'm not telling anybody. I'm just kind of thinking, okay, there must be something. But, you know, maybe I just needed a little support this week. And sure enough, I'll get a call from my sister, and she'll say, you know what's really weird? And I'll be like, no, what? And she'll say, I've been thinking of mom all week. And I'm like, bingo. You know, she's coming through to all of us, and she's just giving us that support in whatever we need, or letting us know she's stopping in to say hi, or, you know, whatever it may be. And sometimes, you know, something will come up, and I'll be like, ah, that's why. She's just letting me know, you know. Or maybe it's just she's just letting us know that she's here. Maybe we needed a little extra love that week. We had a rough week, you know. We lost someone we love, or maybe we had somebody going into the hospital. And maybe, you know, there whatever it may be, all of a sudden they're there. And you're just thinking, it feels, and it's not that it feels heavy. It's just, no, it's just almost like where we walk.
Yes. Yes, that's wonderful. I like that very much. And I also, to go back to, can you hear me, Janet?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I think also that to go back to the dream about, you know, maybe not thinking about it again, I think it's really important to write it down, even if you, you know, just scribble it while you're having a cup of coffee very quickly, and then go back and write it, because I've discovered so many things that I didn't realize about the dream just by jotting it down. And not only that, but I've, of some of the visions I had around our son's death, I saw some of the big parts of it, but then when I, there would be a time when I would be looking over it again, and I would see connections between that vision and an experience or another dream, and I was absolutely astounded at the interconnection that was there, which I never would have seen had I not written them down and then actually reflected on them. So I really agree with you. It's to get them down, or certainly to tell them, because if you tell them, then it helps you to remember too. But especially right. to write them, it's just so, so important, well, because we need to see those connections in our lives, I think.
Oh, I agree. And you know, one thing that I was taught a long time ago about dreams, I had went to a weekend conference where it was all on, you know, dreaming. And one of the things they taught were to remember your dream backwards. People always want to start at the beginning. And how many times do you say, oh, I had this dream and it started like this, and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't remember what happened now. And you stop. And you think, oh, my gosh, I don't remember the rest of it. But they had taught me that. They said, if you start going backwards from your dream, you can remember a lot more. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, I don't agree with that. That's got to be crazy, you know. And sure enough, I tried it, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. It works.
Well, try it. I'll try it
but
next
yeah, it
time.
Is. I mean, it's and you know what else is another good idea, too, is like for someone who, you know, is going through a lot of experiences, you know, they have someone that they love, or, you know, and someone and they're in their grief, when you're dreaming, you know, sometimes it's a good idea to tell someone else, you know, someone you trust, because yeah. they may see some insight of that dream that you didn't, you know, that you didn't, you know, see yourself, because you're looking at one part of it. You might be saying, well, this is what's going on, and this is what I'm seeing. And, you know, someone that you're talking to might say, well, what is this part? But this might mean that. And all of a sudden, it just, the light bulb goes off, and you think, I'd never thought of that. So sometimes it's good to share your dream, too, with somebody, you know, who you feel you can trust, or a good friend, or a spouse, or, you know, something. And that sometimes helps as well.
And that brings us to, we don't have anyone who's called in. Do you want to give that number once again, Kim?
Sure. It's 888-627-6008. And I'll do a repeat on that. It's 888-627-6008. And I'd like to add also Janet's point that it's always important to thank Spirit for signs and visions and dreams and various communications that we receive, although sometimes they're not what we ask for or expect. Our gratitude is worthy of expression, and it will keep them open and trying to communicate their heart's message back to us.
Well, I think actually gratitude is probably an energy line to the other side, don't you? Once we feel that, we strengthen that alignment, I think.
I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, and that's one thing that I've always done as well, is I think that just to acknowledge them. And you have to, because it's kind of like I always say, if somebody keeps coming to your front door and you don't answer it, they're gonna go away. Yeah. They might come back later. Exactly. But if you answer the door, then you let them know that you're there, and now, okay, I'm here. And then when they want to come through and send you whatever kind of sign it may be, or, you know, it could be something in a dream. It could be, you know, a touch. It could be something physical. I mean, I'm one of those people that I always say I'm from the show me state, so you have to show me. So I've had, you know, a lot of interesting things happen over my lifetime, with things moving in my house and moving in my office, and it gets to be kind of, you know, a fun thing. And you know, and actually I have a little story I can share about that too, now that I think about it. If you don't mind, if you have time.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Well, you know, I as a medium, I do readings, and this client did say it was okay I could share the story, because it kind of involved me. And I had bought these lotions a while back, and I had them on my counter, or on my dresser, I guess. And, you know, I'm one of these people that I'm usually really organized, and everything is, like, in its spot. You know, nothing moves, because I'm used to things happening in my life where things move. So I kind of know all the time where certain things are, all right? So I get these lotions, and I put them on the dresser, and they're all straight. They're all perfect, you know, and I, you know, go to bed that night, and I have a reading the next morning, and I always say, well, you know, if you have anything to show me, feel free to show me, and I'll let the, you know, client know. I go to sleep. The next morning I wake up, and the first thing I do when I open my eyes, my eyes are right on the dresser, and there are two of the three lotions are turned sideways, okay? Now, the one lotion is called Rituals of Karma. The other one is called the Rituals of Ayurveda, or Ayurveda, however you say. I always say that wrong. And so I'm like, okay, that's really weird. I'm thinking that has to have some meaning for me. So, you know, I'm doing the reading, and the client gave me the okay to give this, you know, to share this. And it was really interesting, because when I looked it up, the Ayurveda, it's really interesting, because it talks about healing, okay? And it was considered by scholars to be like the oldest healing science. Its actual meaning is the science of life. And the rituals of karma, of course, have to do with, you know, cause and effect and action. And it was really interesting, because it resonated so much with the client, because this client, what they are doing, when you think about healing, it, you know, people always right away go, oh, doctor, you know, in this world, and you're like, no, it doesn't have to be. It could be in our government as well. And so it was really interesting that it resonated so much, because this person was trying to help in the government. And what this person was doing was so huge that I literally, afterwards, I'm just like, okay, are you going to move again? I want to see, will you move for me now? You know, and they never moved after that.
Wow. Well, that's,
but I mean,
so
it was just interesting, because I always ask for signs, and I try to be really open. And, you know, I'm like, just give me whatever you want. And whether, you know, and it's with anybody, you can ask, you know, for a sign, however it needs to come through. And if
and
you get it in
that
a
you
dream
honor
state.
Those things.
Pardon?
I was just saying, and so good that you honor it. You just think, oh, well, I must have pushed them this way or that. That you know and you honor that sign as a sign.
Right, right. And that's the thing, is I think that we all need to do that. We need to honor whatever sign comes through. And it doesn't have to be like everything that happens is a sign. It doesn't have to work. It can work in the way of, you know. You know when it happens, that's when it happens. And I think, you know, I mean, I've already come in, you know, where I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just like, okay, I hear things moving in the office. And, you know, woke up the next morning and a picture was completely turned sideways. And I took pictures of it right away and sent it to people and say, you know, does this look like something I would have on my desk sideways? It's a picture of my son and daughter-in-law, you know, and it just is like, okay. So then I would call them that day, so what's up? You know, and give them trouble because it's like a picture boot of them. So, that's part of it.
Kim always watches for small things, too. And Kim, I think you should tell that story of recent experience.
Okay. Janet, I sent you a photo of this. I don't know if you saw it yet. But Betty and I are in Bob and Fran's house right now. And for those who might not have heard, our beloved Fran crossed over on September 22nd. And so we've been wanting a sign or some communication. And so I'm talking to her throughout the day and during the evening. And so I woke up the other morning after we had breakfast. We decided to go for a walk. And at that point in time, I was wearing these sandals that I only wear in the house. And so I went in to change put my tennis shoes on for the walk. So I leaned up against the nightstand so that I could take my foot out of the sandal, slap a sock on it, stick it into the shoe. And so I did that with both of them. And so my tennis shoes had been on the right side of my suitcase between the suitcase and the nightstand. And so that's where I left my sandals. So when we came back from our walk, I walked into my bedroom and the sandals were on the opposite side of the suitcase. And not only that, neither one of them was facing in the direction that I left them on the other side. So, for example, one of them had the heel turned to the outside window and the other one was facing the complete opposite direction horizontally. So it just totally blew my mind.
And so it was walking somewhere.
Well, or that had been lifted because it couldn't even have been kicked across the room because it was on the right side of a suitcase. And so in between the nightstand and the suitcase were my shoes. Just the way I had stepped out of them with the heels facing the bed, not the window. And so anyway, I went bouncing out to the other room to say to Betty and to Bob, come in here. I have a weird alert. I just have a weird alert. I don't know what to say about this, but that's not where I left my shoes.
Yeah. And when, you know, sometimes you think, well, you dismiss something like that, but nobody was in the house. Nobody could have moved them. So, okay. It is a weird alert. Now, where do we go from there?
That's where I went is, oh my gosh. And my heart was palpitating and my voice got louder and faster and I was pretty excited. I could say, there's no way that could have happened. That's not where I would have left my shoes.
Yeah,
that's
so
not where I stepped out of my shoes.
Wow. She was so intense, we could not ignore her. She had that deep intuitive feeling that it was something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Fran.
Yeah.
I think it was
she'd
Fran.
Been
oh my gosh, that's
something.
Wonderful. That is, and you know what? I'll have to tell you later about my shoe story, but maybe we'll keep that for next month. But that is wonderful.
You
I mean,
can
that
tell your
to me
shoe
is a huge sign.
Yes.
Do we have? Do we have time?
We have 5 minutes left, Janet, and I'd love to hear your shoe story, and I'm sure our listeners would as well.
Yeah,
for
it.
Well, I can share.
If
I can share it real quick. Actually, I think it's in my book too, but. I guess I was probably in my early 20s, and I would go to work. I guess it was early 20s. I would go to work and come home and, you know, take my shoes off. And, you know, like I always said, I'm really organized. Everything has to be straight. And I would put my shoes and take them off and put them, you know, in front of kind of this mirror that I had. And I would go out into the kitchen and maybe get something to eat. And I'd come back in, and the left shoe would be completely turned sideways. The one shoe would be straight and the left shoe would be completely sideways. And I would just be like, that's really weird. I'm thinking, I don't think I took my shoes off like that, but I guess I did. And then it happened a couple different times. And finally, one day, it was like I got a clue. It was like the light bulb went off, like, wait a minute, here, something's going on. Oh, and sure enough, you know, I would go in and take my shoes off. And I wouldn't know. It would be kind of in the same spot, not really the same, but it was just carpet, a regular, you know, bedroom in my 20s. And I would walk out. And finally, one day, my boyfriend at the time, which was Carl, who was later my husband, he came over, and my mom was there, and I'm like, Mom, Carl, come here. I'm like, go look in that room. See the shoes? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, just don't do anything. Let's go out in the kitchen. And we'd go out in the kitchen, and we'd be talking, and all of a sudden this weird wave would come over me. I'd feel it. I'd just feel it, like all of a sudden, boom. And I'm like, okay, you guys go in and look at the shoes. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, no, just go in, go in. And they'd walk in, and the shoe would be turned. And at first it was really funny, and after like a couple weeks it was like, okay, now I'm freaked out. This is really weird. What's going on, you know? And I think I eventually just asked them. I just said, okay, I know somebody's here with me. Somebody's playing. You're probably being a playful spirit, but could you please quit playing with my shoes, because now it's starting to freak me out a little, because, you know, I go like, what else is going to move in here, you know? And it stopped. And it stopped. And I think I kept those shoes for years. And then finally one day I'm like, okay, yeah, it's time to let go and realign and move on. But it was the coolest story too. And I'm thinking, you know, you have the shoe story, and I even wrote down that I might tell a shoe story tonight. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, funny. That's so crazy.
That's strange. Do you have any idea if what message was trying to be communicated?
I think they were,
or just that they were
really
saying, I'm here.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like spirit trying to like maybe fine tune me and say, okay, you have a lot going on, and, you know, we want to make this light, so we're not going to do anything to scare you. But I also think they were trying to show me that there's something going on around me, and I need to start paying attention to it more. And, I mean, I kind of always did all my life know there were things, and I'd go back and forth. And I think that as things started to happen like that and things would move, it does kind of wake you up. It makes you pay attention a lot more. You know, you pay attention. And I think that's why whenever I would say that during these, you know, monthly get-togethers, I would be like, you need, if you're out there, you need to pay attention to what's going on around you, because there's probably a lot more happening than you realize. And that was one of the things. And then I started realizing more and more what was happening. So I think it was a really good teaching lesson. But in your case, it was a wonderful gift, because I really feel that was Fran coming to you and doing that. And how fun. Mm-hmm. She would be playful like that, you know?
She would be playful.
Well, and it was really obvious, because had the shoes just been kicked around in the same corner, I wouldn't have noticed. You know?
It was across, yeah.
It wouldn't at all have gotten my attention. Mm-hmm. But it was dramatic enough, mm-hmm. and not just on the other side, which would have made me think, what? But yeah. The fact that one had the heel towards the outside window and the other one facing the left was just totally wacky, and just thought, oh, my God.
And then with two different attitudes. I mean, Kim was absolutely certain. I mean, she noticed it. And I like also what you say is that sometimes we need a reminder that, as you say, something's going on around you. Pay attention. Don't just dismiss things. Truly pay attention. I like that. I like both a lot. So we were excited with Kim's experience.
So nice.
Is it about time? Oh, my gosh, what a wonderful experience.
Yes. Janet, do you have our closing thoughts?
Yes, I do. Let me go ahead and read
In the meantime, go ahead and say thank you to all our wonderful listeners, and we hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we hope you can make it next month, the fourth Thursday of the month, where we will be sharing our personal stories and hopefully hearing your personal stories.
Yes, we want to hear your stories.
Yes, definitely. We do want to hear their stories. Okay, and may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet, and good night, everyone.
Thank you so much, and good night. We'll talk to you later, Janet.
Okay, good night.